أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا أبو القاسم محمد ومن المحبين وإطرة الطاهرين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this first session of the series on milestones of Azadari in the Indian subcontinent. The subtitle is From Awadh to New York. That does not mean that we are only going to be dealing with a journey from Lucknow to New York, but these are two very iconic places in terms of Awadh being the iconic seat of Shiism and New York being the gateway to the Western world. And truly, this journey of our community has a lot to do with the way we perform Azadari. And in fact, I would say that Aza is that vehicle that took us from our native lands over to the Western world. And it has been that institution that has allowed us to be the community that we are today. With those few words, a little bit of information that inshallah this will be an ongoing series of six sessions every Saturday, every Sunday at 11:30 Eastern Time. And you have the flyers, please refer to those for the various topics. But the journey is going to be from the historical roots and rituals and the practice of Aza in, for example, medieval India, which is what we are going to be talking about today. And I'll be introducing our guests for that. But also we'll be talking about the art of Soskani. We are going to talk about the great literary figures. We're going to be talking about the literature that was spawned by the whole culture of Azadari and so on and so forth. And the last session is going to be almost a town hall with those pioneers who established Azadari in the Western world, and in particular in the New York, New Jersey area. So that is, inshallah, the plan, and we hope that you will be able to join us for the next three weekends as we go through this structured program where we can have a deeper insight into the evolution of Azadari, and in particular, I'd like you to encourage our young to join us so that we are able to, you know, give them a sense of our heritage and the Aza and the importance of Aza as part of our heritage. It would be remiss if I did not thank Brother Mustafa Abdi for facilitating and working so hard so that we can have this program today and, you know, over the next coming weeks. My task today, briefly, is to introduce a subject, set the scene through a series of presentations, which is called the Genesis of Azaya Hussein, as to where did it begin. And then we will have our esteemed guest today, Sayyid Ali Nadeem Rizvi, who will talk about the historical roots and rituals and practices in medieval North India. Inshallah, I will, introduce him in due course. Welcome Nadeem Bhai to this program. And inshallah, we will formally introduce you before you begin to speak. Really, the genesis, when we look at the genesis of the Aza, obviously it goes back to the tragedy of Karbala. If we picture a man, you know, standing on a sand dune to stand up for truth and justice, this happened over 1,381 years, if we are to follow the Muslim calendar, on the 10th of Muharram, that just before the time of Asr, this dignified man stands on a sand dune in Karbala. He was bleeding from several wounds in his body. It is said that there was not a single arrow on his back. All the arrows were in the front. He had lost everything. And since early morning, he had carried several dead bodies into his camp, and he had even buried his infant child. And now he looks at the enemy forces, he looks back at the tents, he turns in four different directions and says those famous words of Isagasa to say, Halmin Nasirin Yansurna, is there anyone who will come to assist us? Who was he calling out to? He was not calling out to his companions who lay dead on the plains of Karbala. He was calling out to each one of us in terms of making sure the mission of Hussein remains alive and Azadari is indeed our way of answering to that call of Halmin Nasirin Yansurna. We Muslims, and in particular the Shia Muslims, have answered this call with this unique institution of Azai Hussein. Every tear that we shed for him, we pledge to resist the oppression of injustice, immorality, inequity, and falsehood. Every time we raise our hand and bring it down on our chest for this matam, we are saying, Labbaik Ya Hussein, Labbaik Ya Mawla, to our Imam, and we say that we are here to stand for those principles. Indeed, this has inspired many poets, many writers, many thinkers, many scholars to give their opinions, to share their reflections. And I can do no better at this point in time just to introduce the mission of Imam Hussein in the words of the famous poet Josh Malyabadi, who was also called the poet of the revolution, where he said, Tariq de rahi hai, ye awaz dam badam, das se sab to azm hai, das se bala o gam, sabre masi, wajurat sukrat ki kasam, is raah mein hai, sirf ek insan ka kadam. Jiski rago mein atish badro hunain hai, us surma ke jiske isme girami Hussein hai. That history is making a clarion call. It is a wilderness of resoluteness of woe and goal by the fortitude of Christ, by Socrates' valor. This path is trodden alone by a man of honor. The man tempered are whose veins by the fire of Badr and Hunain. He is a valiant being and his sweet name is Hussein. So Aza is a means to that end to ensure that his message continues as it does to reverberate. And then there is another dimension to this Azza. The legacy of Bibi Zainab Salamullahi Alayha is the very legacy of the Majlis-e Azza that we commemorate the world over. It's the very revolution. Every revolution has blood, sacrifice, and people who give their lives. But if there was no one to carry that message, that revolution would remain buried within the pages of history, perhaps at best. But it was that message that was carried by Lady Zainab Salamullahi Alayha in every way that she could. Indeed, when she confronts Yazid in Damascus, and there was a stunned silence, and she said, I swear by Allah, that I do not fear anyone but him and do not complain to anyone but him. This was Janab-e Zainab speaking truth to power, and she said valiantly in the eloquence that reminded people of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and she said that you may employ your deceit and your shrewd tactics, O Yazid, but I swear by Allah that the shame and the ignominy you have earned for yourself by the treatment meted out to us cannot be erased. And indeed, that is exactly what happened as the word spread. And instead of it being erased, the mighty empire of Yazid was raised to ground. This has no parallel in the annals of history of humanity. If you see it, and to invoke Allama Iqbal, he said he watered, Imam Hussein watered the dry garden of freedom with the surging wave of blood, uprooted the despotism and awakened the slumbering Muslim nation. That is what Azza is. And through our annual Muharram commemorations, we, the people of conscience, have a duty to reaffirm our pledge to the sacrosanct principles which were exemplified by Imam Hussein in Karbala. And Azadari, therefore, is a timeless institution. Its message is timeless. It resonates even today with tremendous clarity. It inspires truth seekers, Muslims and non-Muslims, and advocates of human rights across the world. And indeed, in Ziyarat al-Ashura, we beseech Allah to provide us with an opportunity to fight for justice. That is the legacy of Karbala. So we will be talking about the significance of Azadari, because in the words of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq al-Islam, he said that it is a means of keeping alive the movement that was started by Imam Hussein in Karbala. It is indeed this movement that has gripped the hearts and minds of all. It goes back to the very first Majlis Azhar, where Bibi Zainab Salamullahi Alayha asked for a room for her and the ladies and the family of Imam Hussein to mourn. Indeed, the first Majlis Azhar, the lamentation ceremony, starts right in the house of the enemy. And then subsequently, as Imam Zainul Abidin al-Islam is an eyewitness to Karbala, also played a key role in establishing the institution of Azadari and conveying the message to the martyrs of the martyrs in his own unique way. And after that, the Aima alayhimus salam continue to keep this tradition alive. And that is a tradition that we follow. Indeed, so much so, it is said that when Yazid was informed by Marwan about this morning gathering in Medina, he feared a public mutiny and indeed ordered a re-arrest of Imam Zainul Abidin because of this. Well, we know that after that, Imam Muhammad Baqir al-Islam during his time gave specific instructions and further impetus to the Majlis of Hussein as we know it, followed by Imam Ja'far Sadiq al-Islam, who invited the famous poet Ja'far bin Affan to recite Marsiyas. And during this time, when the Umayyads and the Banu Abbas were fighting for power, Imam Ja'far Sadiq had the time and the freedom to enlighten people about the philosophy of Imam's uprising in Karbala. During the time of Imam Musa Kazim al-Islam, changes were brought into how the Marsiyas were recited, and he asked the poets of the time to write in their respective languages as per their own linguistic and cultural traditions to spread the message of Karbala far and wide. And this indeed, today we have Marsiyas being recited in numerous languages. Each culture has adopted the message of Hussein and the tradition of Karbala into their own cultures. The term Majlis obviously has both a grammatical meaning, but in terms of when we refer to a Majlis, we're talking about a meaning which relates to the Azhar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Indeed, when our sixth Imam was talking to Fuzail, one of the companions who had come to pay homage to Imam, after the usual courtesies, Imam asked Fuzail and said, "Do you people ever organize majalis to recall the martyrdom of Imam Hussein?" And Fuzail, with tears pouring down his eyes, replied, "Yabna Rasulullah, indeed we do." And the Imam says, "May Allah bless you. I highly approve of such majlises." So that is our legacy of Azadari. Just quickly to go through, and the history, we will be going through this history in the days to come. But after the Aima alayhimus salam had promoted and the poets had written their marsiyas and the poetry in the honor of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions, it was not until 350 after Hijra that Sheikh Saduq becomes the very first person after the Aima alayhimus salam and the family of the Blessed Prophet to openly start reciting extempore on Karbala's history to his students in Arabic. And indeed, his students used to write his lectures to share it further with the wider community. And the collection of these discourses are also known as the Amali of Sheikh Saduq. It was in 352 Hijri that the first Muharram procession was taken out in Baghdad by the Banu Abbas ruler, Mu'taz Dawla, and later on the historic occasion of Arba'in, a procession was taken out from Baghdad to Karbala. So these are the events of the Genesis as it was developing in those lands. And it is said that it was in 423 Hijra that the very first Zuljana procession was taken out in Kufa by the members of the Kabila of Banu Asad. And we remember the Kabila of Banu Asad who owned the land from whom Imam Hussein al-Islam had purchased the land in Karbala for them to be buried, and which is where today the shrine stands. And then the processions were taken out in Baghdad, in Iran, in India, and elsewhere in the world. And today Manhattan freezes on that one day when our Julus actually goes out in the streets of New York. So the entire tradition has been transplanted into many different lands. And this is indeed the subculture of Azhar. The symbolism, the imagery, the art, and the craft associated with Azadari has spawned many, many cultures, as we will see through this program. Its inclusiveness is demonstrated that it is embraced by people of all faiths, beyond ethnic origin, financial status, or demographic state. From Karbala to Qom, be it Hyderabad Sindh or Hyderabad Dakhan, be it Lucknow to Lahore, be it the island of Zanzibar, Madagascar, or the islands of Caribbean, or be it every place from Auckland to New Zealand, or Auckland, New Zealand to Vancouver, and I don't mean over the Pacific, but going west across the globe, the sun never sets on the Azhar of Aba Abdullah. One majlis begins in New Zealand, and before the day is out, another majlis has begun. Somewhere else, the sun does not set. And this is a global cause for justice that Imam inspired us all. Azadari is a global tradition. Perhaps few traditions that have been able to cross the barriers of geography, of religion, of ethnicity, and every possible divide. What makes it vibrant, colorful, and inclusive is an inherent ability to assimilate local cultures and take local shape instead of trying to impose a set of rules. From Zuljana in Pakistan to the camels in the Middle East in remembrance of the women of Imam Hussein's family, we have the drumbeats of Matam rituals in Trinidad to the silent procession, what we call the Chup Tazia in Sindh, and as well as in Dakhan. So when the tradition of Azadari became inclusive and open, it also made a way for many different forms of arts. The kawals and the singers also came on. The music subculture of Pakistan, and you know, we are not talking about fiqh here, I'm talking about, you know, how the Azadari has spanned. It is not our subject to discuss fiqh here, but it resulted in a music subculture in Pakistan and elsewhere, where we find the Nawaz, Marsias from prominent singers and artists too. The idea and the point to make is that Azadari has allowed for this cultural assimilation, where the devotional form of music also came up as a new genre beyond the confines of the Sunni and Shia. And of course, within our own particular culture that we'll be talking about, Urdu poetry owes a lot to the Marsias that were combined in the honor of Imam Hussein al-Islam and the tragedy of Karbala. Just to give us a glimpse and a little relief, I will share a brief presentation in terms of, you know, a visual presentation as to how the subcultures have evolved over the period. And we would like to, you know, share that with the participants. So if you allow me for 1 second to make sure that this technology actually works the way it should, inshallah, we will try and do this presentation. So as I said, and I hope everybody can see this. Nadeem Saab, can you just raise your hand if you can see the presentation?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Nadeem Bhai. So here you can see this slide, which is a Christian participation in Karbala itself. I'll go through this quickly because, you know, we would like to use as much time for our guest speaker that we have here today. Once again, you know, this is again in Iraq, and they say in the name of Jesus, the Son of Mary, we offer our condolences this Muharram. The Christians in Lebanon sit through the lamentation processions. And you have the Hindu Taziyas of Karachi, of the Ranchhod Lines in Karachi, a historic Taziya, which becomes part of the Julus organized by the local Sikh and the Hindu community. We also have the Taziya makers who are Sunni. You know, this is in Multan, for example. This is a historic Taziya, which goes back to the 1860s. Then we have the Ahmedabad in Sitapur, the diversity of the devotees of Hindus, the Muharram celebrations in Andhra Pradesh, for example, by non-Muslims. And this is again in India with the Sikhs participating, Hindus participating. This is, you know, out there in Kenya, where you have the Azhar of Imam Hussein al-Islam. This happens to be in a small island called Lamu, where my forefathers first landed in East Africa when they came, where there were probably five or six Shia families at that time who had themselves recently converted. Today we have thousands of people in Kenya, in Tanzania, in East Africa, in Rwanda, where they commemorate. Indeed, for those of you who are interested, there is a very interesting map that I found as I was researching for this, a map that was plotting the videos of the rites of commemoration of Muharram across the world. And if you click on any of those icons, you'd actually be able to see a video of those commemorations which take place. So here, bear with me for another 5 minutes where you can. I'd like to share this 5 minute clip of the international and the global appeal of the Azhar Hussein before I invite our guest speaker to come and talk to us.
Hussein. 1400 years have passed, but you will live eternally. The King of all the martyrs, this is your legacy. You are the Savior, O Hussein, and you are our Master, O Hussein.
I salute you.
you're of religion, this is your station.
JazakAllah, thank you for your patience, and it's now my pleasure to introduce our speaker today. Sayyid Ali Nadeem Rizvi is a professor at the Aligarh Muslim University. Indeed, this is an institution that was a game changer and a defining moment in the history of Islam in India. I'm sure that you all know much more about the Aligarh University and how important it has been. So we're absolutely delighted to welcome Professor Nadeem Rizvi from that erstwhile institution. He was also the Charles Wallace Fellow in 2007 at SOAS in London, and a visiting fellow of the amazing De Science University in Paris in 2008. He's the former chairman and coordinator of the Center for Advanced Studies in History. He holds a PhD on urban middle class in Mughal India from the Aligarh University, and his research interests focus on the history of archaeology, medieval India, and on the Mughal dynasty in particular. He's also the author of Fatehpur Sikri Revisited, published by Oxford University Press, and History Through Archaeology. Having authored over 50 papers in reputed journals, he also has contributed chapters to books in terms of religious movements and institutions in medieval India. He was chosen sectional president Bengal Itihas Sansad, for example, in 2019, and the Punjab Historical Conference. Professor Sayyid Ali Nadeem Rizvi is also a fellow of the Shia Institute in September 2013. With that, those impressive credentials, we look forward to listening to Professor Rizvi. Welcome, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Janab Hasan Walji Sahab. Before I start with my lecture, whatever I have to discuss today, let me thank all of you out there who facilitated this talk, especially to Mustafa Abidi Saab, who contacted me time and again, fixing everything, and also agreeing to show the slides which I'll be presenting before you. Mustafa Saab, can I have the first, the title slide? The title slide, please. As you can see, the topic which I have chosen is historical roots of rituals and practices of Azam. Although I have entitled it as North India, I would also be discussing a few things about the Deccan as well. Before actually I start with the slides, I would like to say two things. One, that rituals are actually a set of ceremonies consisting of a series of actions which are performed according to a prescribed order. Yani har mazhab mein ek pehlu hota hai जो उसके ईमान के साथ साथ जो रिचुअल कहलाता है, कैसे अपने ईमान का इजहार पब्लिक जो है वो करती है. दीज रिचुअल्स हैव अ पर्टिकुलर ट्रेडिशन, दे आर परफॉर्मेंसेस इनफैक्ट. सो एंड इनफैक्ट वट एवर देयर पर्टिकुलर फिलोसफी इज रिफ्लेक्टेड through the rituals which are being performed by that particular community. Now, when I am talking about these rituals in India, I would also like to point out that these rituals started developing not only from Awadh. Generally, it is believed that it was the Nawabins of Awadh with whom Azadari proper started in India. It is also believed that as far as the Mughals were concerned, or the other Islamic sultanates of India were concerned, they had nothing like Aza with them. And it was everything which was started either in Bijapur and Golconda or with the Nawabin of Awadh during the 19th century. Today, what I am going to present before you would show that the roots of the Azadari, the rituals themselves, go very deep in history as far as the Indian subcontinent is concerned. Let me have the first slide, please. Now, are these rituals which are there, they include a number of things. In fact, most of us Shias, we may belong to any place. We may be Americans or British citizens or from Uganda or India. We all of us understand that there are certain practices which are quite common to all of us. For example, these majalis, the sessions where oratory is performed and certain other rituals are performed. Under the Mughals and even before the Mughals, they were known as taskeez, that is based on something which is taskira. Then we have the processions, the julus with alam, taziya, duldul, and a number of other things. Now, all these things, all these rituals, they have to be performed in certain spaces. Now, these spaces are known as Ashur Khanas or Imam Baras. The term Aza Khana is used if a portion of your house or your room has been set aside for these rituals, it would be known as Aza Khana. Ashur Khana or Imam Bara would be specific buildings which are set aside for these performances. So today, apart from the rituals, the majalis, the alam, the taziya, I would also be speaking about these ritual spaces, whether they existed in India before 19th century or not. And then, of course, the third aspect on which Hasnain Walji Saab has referred to and which he has spoken about, the marsiyas, especially the marsiyas of Mir Anees, Mirza Dabir. Incidentally, Mir Anees and Mirza Dabir, they are the pinnacles of marsiya. The tradition, as pointed out by Walji Saab himself in the introduction, go very early in history. Even in India, we find that it was during the 16th century and 17th century Deccan that the Marsiya Nigari had actually started. I would be showing that by 16th century, these Marsiyas were being presented, read in the Mughal Empire as well. But then during the course of my lecture, I would not be paying much attention to this third aspect. And I hope that Askari Naqvi Saab would be making a presentation on this aspect probably tomorrow. Next slide, please. Next one. Well, as far as the majalis is concerned, as I said, that if you ask any student of medieval Indian history, those who read the Persian sources, if you ask them, do you get any reference to Azadari, any reference to the commemorations of Muharram in the Indian history, any reference in the Mughal sources, any reference in the sources of the Sultanate period in India, they would say hardly any. They would say that, whether it is the Deccani sources or the sources belonging to the Delhi Sultanate Delhi Sultanate was established in 1206, early 13th century. Mughal Empire was established in 1526, 16th century. And we would be informed that there is hardly any reference. But then if you actually pay attention and read the sources, you would find that there are many references in the text themselves. For example, today I would put before you the source which is very popularly known among the Indian historians, the Tabaqat-e-Nasiri of Minhaj-us-Siraj. It is a very important source for the reconstruction of the history of Delhi Sultanate. And there, Minhaj-us-Siraj, in fact, talks about Ashra-e-Muharram, the 10 days of Muharram. He says that it is not only the 10 days of the Muharram, but also the first 10 days of the month of Zilhijjah, as well as, certain, dates of Ramadan. Then he used to deliver what he calls as Tazkir, the Tazkira. He doesn't just stop that he used to recite Tazkir. He says that Dar Ashra-e Muharram Har Ruz Tazkir Miguf, that every day of the Ashra-e Muharram, 10 days of the Muharram, he would recite, he would present an oratory. And what would that oratory be? It used to be something which was concerned with the Waqai Karbala. So he's very specific to give us the example. And he says that he would, in fact, go from place to place. For example, he says that he used to recite majalis, these tazkir, in Delhi itself. He says that he performed these majalis at Gwalior, for example. So he says that at regular intervals, he would be moving from place to place during the Ashra-e Muharram and talking about the tragedy of Karbala to the people who would assemble together. And, this reference to the holding of majalis by Tabaqat-e-Nasiri belongs to the period of the first Delhi Sultan, Sultan Iltutmish. Yani jis waqt jo pehla hai sultan 4 saal ko jo pehle ban ke aaya tha wo kaha jata hai Qutbuddin Aibak, jiske 2 saal wo apne ko sultan nahi pukarta tha, jo actual sultan tha wo uska successor Iltutmish tha jisne puri dynasty ko establish kiya tha. Aur usi ke period mein Tabaqat-e-Nasiri ye batati hai ki Delhi mein, Gwalior mein, North India mein baqaida se majlisein jo thi wo barpa ki ja rahi thi, aur usme Muharram ke har din wo in guftugu ko kiya karta. Not only that, but all of you must have heard about Ibn Battuta, the famous traveler who visited India. He says that during the period of Muhammad bin Tughlaq, another very important ruler of Delhi Sultanate, now we are entering into the 14th century, he says that under Muhammad bin Tughlaq, there are 3 very important festivals which are commemorated. And among these 3, in which he talks about the birthday of the Prophet, Eid-e-Milad-un-Nabi. Incidentally, he does not mention the other 2 Eids, Bakrid and the Eid of the Ramzan. They are not mentioned as the 3 major festivals of the Muslims in India during that period. So Eid-e-Milad-un-Nabi is mentioned. And apart from that, he says that Ashra-e-Muharram, especially the Ashura-e-Muharram, he says was a very well celebrated festival during the period of the Tughlaq. And the 3rd was the Pandra Shaban, the 15th of Shaban, on which, festivities were held, feasts were laid out. And, in fact, I'm not going into the details of what he tells us, but he also refers that on the Ashra-e-Muharram, there is a nazr which is performed on various kinds of dishes, fruits, and etc., etc. And he elaborates, although the account of Ibn Battuta is very brief. It survives only in a fragment. But in that fragment, the commemoration of Muharram is being mentioned. So, pehla sultan jo Hindustan mein jisne Delhi Sultanate ko qaim kiya, uske period mein roz majlison ka zikr aa raha hai. Muhammad bin Tughlaq, jiske bare mein kaha jata hai ke bada cruel tha. I'm not entering into that debate. Lekin Muhammad bin Tughlaq, jisko ek pagal ruler bhi kaha jata hai, it is said that he is a crazy man. But here, under him, Ibn Battuta is informing that Muharram is being commemorated in a fashion that he counts Ashura, Ashura as one of the important occasions in Indian Islam. Next slide, please. Next one. Now, apart from the majalis which we hear from day one of the establishment of the Delhi Sultanate, there are certain other things which probably made an entry into the subcontinent at some later point of time. Now, for example, the alam, the standard. You know, every country, every army, every establishment has its own standard. And we know that even the Prophet of Islam had a standard of his own. Jafar-e-Tayyar, Imam Ali, they are supposed to be the persons who used to hold the alam during the period of the Prophet himself. And as far as the Battle of Karbala is concerned, there are references that the alam of Hussein was held by Janabi Abbas, Hazrat Abbas, and that is why, in general understanding, instead of calling it the standard of Islam or the standard of Imam Hussein, we call it as Alame Hazrat Abbas. That is generally how, jab bhi alam hota hai aur wo hota hai to Hazrat Abbas ka zikr aam taur se Hindustani majlison mein kiya jata hai. Aur ek bahut hi that is one of the rituals which is very popular throughout the world now. Especially it is popular in almost all the districts of the Indian subcontinent also. And this alam, this concept of alam, was introduced in India for the first time in the year 1380. That was the year when we are informed that a Sufi saint, Sayyid Muhammad Ashraf Jahangir Simnani, who was a Sufi, a mystic, he visited India, he came to India during the period of Firoz Shah Tughlaq, the successor of Muhammad bin Tughlaq. And about Firoz Shah Tughlaq, it is said, was the period of the persecution of the Shia. We are informed that a large number of Shias were in fact killed, massacred during this period. The Shia Azan was stopped. Number of other things happened during this period. It is generally held. There are a number of sources which say that many practices, Shia practices, many Shia divines, in fact, were killed during this period. But it was during the same period that the institution of Alam came to be established. In 1380, Ashraf Jahangir Simnani entered into the territory of Firoz Shah Tughlaq. He migrated to Bengal. In Bengal, at Pandwa Sharif, he remained there for some time and then returned back to North India. And in North India, in the region of the Sharqi Empire, the successor of the Tughlaq dynasty were the Sharqis of Jaunpur. And it was in this territory that he established his Khanqah, his Takiyah. But sometimes the Khanqa, or the place where the Sufis sit and carry on with their wird, is also known as the Takiya. So it is there that he established an alam. Baqaida inka ek source hai jo inke malfuzat hain. Ek sahab ne, maine jab pehli baar isko maine is cheez ko point out kiya, to ek sahab ne ye kaha ke aapke paas kya evidence hai ke Muhammad Ashraf Jahangir Simnani laaye the, kyunki shid Ashraf Jahangir Simnani to Shia nahi hai. Kahan se wo leke aaye the? Kahan ki aap baatein kar rahe hain? So you look at the malfuzat of Simnani himself, they are, which survived. Now they have also been translated into Urdu, and I hear that commentaries have been written on that text in English as well. It is known as Lataif-e-Ashrafi. And in that, in volume 2 of that, there is a reference that in the Khanqah of Jahangir Simnani at near Jaunpur in the Sharqi territory, the alam which was brought by Jahangir Simnani was fixed near the masjid within the Khanqah. It was a Khanqah complex jahan pe inhone ek masjid bhi qaim ki thi aur wahan pe is alam ko nasb karwaya tha. I am not sure because I don't get any reference ke iska procession bhi nikalta tha, koi julus bhi nikla iska ke nahi nikla, koi reference nahi hai. Lekin alam tha, alam mein panja tha, patka tha, farera tha, baqaida jaise alam hota hai wo tha, aur usko ek jagah ke upar fix kiya gaya. Next slide please. Next one. I'll come to how this was fixed subsequently, but before I go to that, let me also talk about the introduction of another very popular ritual among the Shias, especially of India, the introduction of Taziya. Now, my father, Allama Sayyid Sibtul Hasan Fazil Hanswi, he had written a number of books, some of them relating with Azadari. For example, he had written a book, Hindu Qom or Azadari. He had written a book, Tariq-e-Azadari. Then he had written another book, Azbat-e-Azadari. So in Tariq-e-Azadari, my father wrote, and these are the works which are in Urdu. I remember that my father was a theologian, he was not a historian. So unka jo pura approach hai likhne ka, wo jo ek Urdu da Arabi Farsi janne wale, jo ek early 20th century ke, main unka sabse chota beta hu. In fact, he was born in 1910, so he was a person who belonged actually to the 20th century. He died in 1978 at a ripe age of 70. So inka zyadatar jo academic jo kaam hai, that came out during the middle of the 20th century. And in one of his writings in Tariq-e-Zardari, in fact, he says that the Taziya was introduced for the first time by none other than Taimur Lang isko Hindustan mein leke aaya tha. He does not elaborate upon it. And some of the historians later on, when I joined the Department of History, started studying history, they would say that aapke walid ne ghulu se kaam kiya hai, kahan Taimur aur kahan alam ko leke aana, aur koi aisi baat, koi reference actually nahi milta. Later on, what was discovered is that there does exist a Farman of Aurangzeb, which is in fact preserved at Hyderabad in one of the collections of Nizam, which he maintains at Khilwat Palace at Hyderabad. And there in that Farman, Aurangzeb refers that when Taimur came to India, he brought with him a tabarruk, which was in the form of Rumal-e-Fatima, a piece of the handkerchief of Janab-e-Fatima. And he says, that this Farman says, Aurangzeb says in this Farman, that it is something which is sacred, which is associated with my forefather, Taimur, and it is associated with Bibi Fatima, and it is preserved. And it is only during the Muharram that till date that Rumal-e-Fatima is brought out. Probably what my father had written about Taimur, the reference which he gives is that Taziya is a word which actually means to commemorate, jahan pe aap maun kare, taziyat dein kisi ko. It doesn't mean a paper mache replica of a tomb. It simply means something an object through which you give taziyat to Imam Hussein. So possibly the form of taziyah, which was introduced and which sometimes were also brought out in procession, for example, in Hyderabad, this Rumal-e-Fatima is still brought out. During the period of the Nizam, this was brought out, and it was supposed to be a relic dealing with the Ahle Bayt. And so it was with religiosity, uske bade tazim ke saath usko sar pe rakh ke ek usme rakha rehta hai, usko leke wo chalte hain, to baqaida usko log usko bosa dete hain, chunte hain. So possibly that was the meaning of what it was, a relic which was taken out during the Muharram. Next one, please. But then, let us come to the evidences of these facts which we get from the visual sources of the past. Now, for example, before you is a painting which belongs to Bijapur. It is preserved in the Bodleian Library. And as you can see here, that there is a takiya of a darvesh. If you look closely at this painting, you will find that a dark complexioned, white bearded old man, the darvesh, is sitting on top of a platform, and on the platform there are 5 alams which have been fixed with black, you know, hareras and patkas. 4 of them, which are on the left side, have calligraphic work done on the panjas, the symbol of the panjatan or the hand of Hazrat Abbas. This is the metallic panja, and this is found on these alams. Basically, agar aap dekhenge to isme bajaye ek usme panje mein to 5 haath aapko nazar aa rahe hain, baaki mein ek mein ek hai, ek mein 2 hai. बाज दफा 3 भी बनाए जाते थे आमतौर से, जो मेरे पास भी, जो मेरे आजा खाने में जो सल्तनत पीरियड के जो अलम है उसमें 3 या 2 टाइप के उठे हुए हैं, बाकी सब कंगूरे हैं. एंड यू नो इन द मिडल ऑफ देम द नेम्स ऑफ द अहले बैत, इमाम हसन, इमाम हुसैन, जनाब फातिमा, हजरत अली, दे हैव बीन रिटन आउट देयर. देयर इज अ सर्टेन परफॉर्मेंस व्हिच इज गोइंग ऑन. वंस अगेन हियर ऑल्सो the alams are not being taken out in a julus. Mind it is the year 1610 to 20 that this painting can be dated, early 17th century. Isme alam jo hain, jaise Jahangir Simnani ke usme zikr aaya tha ki wo gaon ke zameen mein aur masjid ke paas lagaye gaye the, yahan pe jo darvesh ka jo apna jahan wo baithta hai uski khanqah hai. You can see that people of all kinds visiting him. He is surrounded by all type of people, and there behind him you find that alams have been, jo almo ko jise hum log urdu mein kehte hain nasb kar dena, usko zameen mein gaad ke usko wahan fix kiya gaya hai. That is the first evidence which I have been able to get as far as alams in the Indian subcontinent is concerned, dated 1610 to 20. Next slide, please. Then this concept of alams not being taken out in the processions but being fixed at certain places, shrines, takiyas, khanqahs, continues up till the 19th century, even today. Here, for example, there is a rural scene dating to 19th century. This is a company painting. Here what we find is, probably it is Bengal or Bihar. The artist does not identify what place he is painting that, but the experts, this is again in London, this is in British Library, is a part of the British Library collection. And here we find that at the far end there is a tent of some nobleman, but before you, just in the immediate front of the painting, there is a shrine on top of which you find that it is camouflaged with a chhatri, with a shamiana, and before it there is a platform with certain offerings placed on it, And on that, there are two tall alams which have been fixed with ropes to the ground. And if you can look at the people who are standing besides it, there is a Sufi with a white beard and a mala, you know, a tasbih or something around his neck. And they are, you know, some fatiha or something which is going on. You know, people along with him, they are performing this ritual. Just on the other side, just opposite to where the Sufi stands, the Matami Baja. You can see the drums and the tachas and the, you know, musical performances. Jo ek aaj bhi Hindustan mein, jo medieval times se leke aaj tak, dhol aur tasha jo Matami Baja kehlate the, wo bajaye ja rahe hain. Lekin incidentally, is painting mein jo khas cheez hai, wo ye hai, ki isme koi bhi kaale cheez nahi pehne gaye. Colorful dresses are shown. So either probably they are the non-Shia, or as we would see in certain other paintings also, that the color black was possibly identified with Muharram rituals for us are late, because this is something which was belonging to the Arab culture, or shayad Hindustan mein ye black pe shuru mein itni importance nahi thi. White kapde zyada isme nazar aate hain, lekin wahi andaaz jaise humne Jahangir Simnani mein suna tha, Bijapur mein dekha tha, aaj ye is painting mein 19th century mein bhi ek platform ke upar अलमों को नष्ट किया हुआ और प्रोसेशन के फॉर्म में नहीं देख रहे. नेक्स्ट वन प्लीज. नेक्स्ट वन. नाउ दिस इज अ स्लाइड फ्रॉम माय होम टाउन, माय विलेज. दिस इज फ्रॉम 2019. सिमिलर इमाम चौक, वी कॉल इट इमाम चौक, ऑन विच द ताजिया इज केप्ट, अ प्रॉपर इंडियन ताजिया. आई विल बी टॉकिंग अबाउट दिस विद इन अ फ्यू सेकेंड्स. Look at the shape of the tazia. You will see it once again, a typical form which is not found anywhere else. But pay attention to the platform. On all the four corners of the platform, the alams of Hazrat Abbas have been fixed to the ground. So the tradition 16 sadas pe humne dekha tha, jo tradition 19th sadi mein humne dekha tha, wo aaj tak, aur isme se yaad rakhiye, jitne bhi cheeze dikhai gayi, wo bade shaharon ki ya रियासतों की नहीं दिखाई गई. दे आर ऑल बिलोंगिंग टू दी कस्बास और टू दी रूरल एरियाज. एंड दिस कंसेप्ट ऑफ तकिया और दिस कंसेप्ट ऑफ इमाम चौक विद अलम्स विच आर फिक्स्ड टू इट कंटिन्यूज विदाउट ब्रेक फ्रॉम 1610, एटलीस्ट फ्रॉम 1610 डाउन टू दी प्रेजेंट टाइम. इस साल जाहिर है कि इस साल भी होता, लेकिन बिकॉज ऑफ दी कोविड पेंडेमिक नो प्रोसेशन, नथिंग हैपेंड. I was also unable to go to my hometown. आपकी इजाजत भी नहीं मिली ताजियों को उस तरह रखने की. So this was not performed. लेकिन कहने का मतलब ये है कि जो एक बिल्कुल सल्तनत पीरियड में जो चीज शुरू हुई थी, मुगल पीरियड में जो कंटिन्यू रही थी, आज भी उसी अंदाज में उस रिचुअल को परफॉर्म किया जाता है. नेक्स्ट वन प्लीज. नाउ यू हैव सीन दिस ताजिया एट माई होम टाउन. नाउ पे अटेंशन the slide here. Pay attention to the black and white photograph which I am presenting before you. This is from inside the Asafi Imam Bada. Walji sahab, jiski image apke piche lagaye hue hain, usi Imam Bade ke andar jo taziye rakhe hue hain, ye 1900 ki ek image hai. Ye shuru ki photography hai. Aur isme aap pay attention kijiye is shape ko taziye ki. मैंने साइड में अपने वतन के ताजिए को भी दिखाया है, इमाम चौक पे रखा हुआ. और जो वहाँ का है आसफुद्दौला के शुरू के इमाम बड़े का झाड़ फानूस के नीचे जो रखे हुए आपको नजर आ रहे हैं, हर उसमें तीन तीन ताजिए रखे हैं, जिसमें से दो बिल्कुल इस फॉर्म के हैं. दे आर टिपिकली इन द फॉर्म ऑफ रथ, जैसे रथ यात्रा हिंदुस्तान में हिंदुओं के उसमें निकलती है, या जैसे मंदिर का फॉर्म होता है. यानी आप नीचे वाली स्लाइड में अगर इसको जरा हेजी नहीं है, इसको आप अगर देखें, इसमें अगर जो हुड सामने निकला हुआ है, अगर आप हुड को माइनस कर दें, सो इट्स अ टिपिकल टेम्पल स्ट्रक्चर. और हुड लगा दें जैसे इसमें लगा हुआ है, तो इट बिकम यू नो अ रथ. एंड दिस वॉज अ टिपिकल शेप विच केम टू द ताजिया इन इंडिया अंडर द influence of, because in India, जो rituals यहाँ perform किए जा रहे थे, localists में यहाँ पे झांकियाँ निकलती थी, रथ यात्रा निकलती थी, even till date, if you go to Odisha in any of the temples, Bhubaneswar, for example, if you go there, or go to Mathura, especially these two places, still you will find that there will be people. In fact, जब मैं वहाँ गया था मथुरा में, वृंदावन में, तो अगर कान में बंद कर लूँ और ये ना सुनूँ कि वो क्या गा रहे हैं, तो मुझे लगता कि जैसे कोई मुहर्रम का जुलूस चल रहा है, वही अंदाज, उसी तरह टाइप से अपने कंधों पे जैसे ताजिए होते हैं, या जैसे हजरत अली अजहर का झूला होता है उसको लेके. दिस वॉज अंडर द इंडियन, दिस वॉज अ टिपिकल इंडियन ताजिया. Next slide, please. Next one. Actually, the concept of Taziya is, developed in Arabia and in Iran. At both the places, whether it is Iraq, Karbala itself, or in, Safavid period of Iran, or after the Safavids, under the Qajars, especially under the Qajars, jo ताजिए के नाम से जो डेवलप हुआ था, वही जैसे मैंने पहले बताया था, ताजियत वर्ड से टू गिव कंडोलेंस. दीज वर इनफैक्ट परफॉर्मेंसेस, ड्रामास. इनफैक्ट इट इज सेड, फॉर एग्जांपल, हियर इज अ पेंटिंग बिफोर यू वेयर इन वन ऑफ द सफ़ाविद बिल्डिंग्स परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ मुहर्रम इज टेकिंग प्लेस. यू कैन सी दैट देयर इज अ स्टेज इन द सेंटर with people sitting all around, and on the stage you find people performing a play. This is the taziyeh, the drama of Karbala, to tell the people how and what happened during Imam Hussein's in 10 days at Karbala. Next one, please. Next slide. For example, a close up, you find that those who are wearing green, they represent the camp of Ahle Bayt. They are the supporters of Ahle Bayt. Karbala ke shuhada hain, doosre log hain. For example, you find there are two persons lying on the ground wearing red clothes. All the Yazidis or the Lashkar-e-Yazid is generally depicted in these Taziya plays wearing the red color. So this is a type of the performance which still continues in Iran. Started first during the Safavid period, developed in a full fashion form in the Qajar period, still being performed in Iran of the present day period. Next one, please. Again, you find the same thing. Shuhada being taken, the women being taken from one place to another. This is a whole performance. You can see the people standing and looking at this performance. Next one, the army of the Yazid, again a full performance. This is the Taziya, jo Taziya ka matlab hai, Iranian form. Next one. But in India, the Taziya became the votive shrine, basically made of paper and reeds. Sometimes it would also be made from other materials. Bazafa shishe ka bhi banaya jata hai, bazafa lakdi ke bhi banaye jate hain, but generally they are impermanent material. Look at the Taziya procession, which belongs to the 19th century. The Taziyas are being carried on top of the elephants, for example, in this painting, with domes, domical, things. And agar, I don't know how far it is visible to you, just in the front is a Taziya with, replicas of horses. Two horses are shown, on top of which is kept the Zari, the horse of Imam Hussein. So even animals, human figurines were added to this Taziya. It was still a performance, but now Taziya in India stood for the replica of the tomb. Just like in the Rath Yatra, there was a miniature votive temple which is being carried on the shoulders. Similarly, in Muharram performances, it is the shrine of the Hussein which is taken. For example, here you can see a lake nearby. Ye pani mein le ja ke isko baha denge. So that is a full bhi ritual hai, wo local traditions ki usse banta hai. To yahan ke upar jo Hindu traditions se usse influence karke, ye jo particular slide hai, ye Patna ke aas paas ki hai, jahan pe ye Muharram ko dikhaya gaya hai 19th century. Next one. Next. Again, you find the taziyas, which are Indian taziyas, the shrines, big shrines which are carried. Next one. Now, pay attention to this. Again, a typical, rut-like structure with, horses with the face of human beings, human faces, the duldul. The taziya in the front is a typical rut. Waisa hi jaisa Asfi Imam Bade mein rakha hua dikhaya gaya tha ya aapko maine apne gaon ka dikhaya tha. Samne do alam jo aap carry karke le jaye ja rahe hain aur un pe bhi wahi jo panja hai wo do ungliyon wala aur baki ungliyan curve wo dikhai jati hai. Kya iska symbol tha, I don't know. लेकिन आमतौर से इस पीरियड में जो आपको मिलेगा अलम का फॉर्म, इसमें जितने आपको अलम नजर आएंगे वो इसी फॉर्म के आपको नजर आएंगे. और इसमें अलम जो है पीछे की तरफ आप देखिएगा, वो जो उठाए आजकल जब उठाए जाते हैं तो हम लोग उसे लेके वॉक करते हैं, लेकिन ये 19th सेंचुरी का जो डिपिक्शन है जिसमें अगेन इट इज आई एम नॉट श्योर वेदर दिस इज फ्रॉम द पटना स्कूल और फ्रॉम लखनऊ, क्योंकि दोनों में एक ही टाइप का डिपिक्शन इस पीरियड में 19th सेंचुरी में हो रहा है. एलिफेंट के ऊपर अलम को लिए हुए चल रहे हैं पीछे की तरफ. नेक्स्ट वन, हेयर फॉर एग्जांपल, अनदर सिमिलर सीन. नाउ इट्स अ डबल डेकर टाइप ऑफ जिसमें दोनों लेवल के ऊपर हॉर्सेस विद ह्यूमन फेस और ऊपर एक के डोम और सामने वाला जो है उसपे बाकायदा रथ का फॉर्म. नेक्स्ट वन प्लीज. दिस इज अगेन टू रिकन्फर्म कि जो आसिफी इमाम बाड़े में जो रखा हुआ था, शायद आपको थोड़ा बड़ा करके इसपे ज्यादा समझ में आए. जो मेरा कहने का मकसद है इस पूरे लेक्चर में वो ये है कि जो हिंदुस्तानी ताजिया है दैट इज बिल्ड इन द ट्रेडिशन विच आर कॉमन टू इंडिया. नेक्स्ट वन, नेक्स्ट वन प्लीज, नेक्स्ट वन, next one. Now, certain of these taziyas are not like a rath, but have the form of typical temples. For example, इसमें जो right hand को मैं दिखा रहा हूँ, बिल्कुल ऐसा ही वालजी साहब ने अभी मुल्तान का दिखाया था. Exactly the same. Now this is on this side of the border. Remember के जो राजस्थान का जो बॉर्डर है हमारा हिंदुस्तान और पाकिस्तान का, अगर आप जैसलमेर को क्रॉस करके बॉर्डर के उधर चले जाएं तो यू एंटर इनटू बलूचिस्तान एंड मुल्तान साइड. इफ यू रिमेन दिस साइड ऑफ द बॉर्डर यू आर इन राजस्थान. सो देयर यू फाइंड द सेम टाइप ऑफ ताजिया विच इज अ टिपिकल स्टोन टेम्पल स्ट्रक्चर. यू कैन सी किस टाइप से उसमें कार्विंग्स की गई हैं, क्या किया गया है. एंड ऑन द राइट साइड अगेन अ पेपर मैश ताजिया, नाउ दिस टाइम विद अ डोम, अगेन समथिंग विच इज बीइंग कैरीड ऑन अ ट्रॉली. बीच में दिस इज वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग टू सी दैट ड्यूरिंग द 18th सेंचुरी ruler of Jaisalmer, the Raja of Jaisalmer, asked for his palace to be constructed, and the palace which was built for him at Jaisalmer, it's still a tourist attraction, was made in this fashion. It is still known as Taziya Mahal. So, wo sirf ye nahi hai ki Hindustani rath aur mandir se मुसलमानों ने बोरो किया, लेकिन हिंदुस्तान के जो ताजिए थे जो मुहर्रम में निकाले जाते थे उनको आर्किटेक्चर में भी स्टोन का बना के, और हिंदुओं ने जैसलमेर में यू विल फाइंड सम मुस्लिम्स, नो डाउट देर आर अ नंबर ऑफ मुस्लिम्स, बट नन ऑफ देम इज अ शिया, बट स्टिल यू वुड फाइंड दैट दिस इज बिल्डिंग इज स्टिल नोन एज ताजिया मेहर, इट इज नोन एज द ताजिया विच इज ऑफ स्टोन, जो रूलर ऑफ जयपुर जैसलमेर की प्रॉपर्टी आज भी है. Now it is open for the tourists also. So if someday if you get a chance, please do visit it. It's a typical tazia in stone, jo ek Hindu raja ke ghar ka ek part. Next one, please. Now apart from the tazias, which are made of impermanent material, jisko aap kandhe pe le jaate hain. और उसके बाद या तो गड्ढे को खोद के कब्र बना के उसको दफन कर देते हैं, यू बरी दी ताजियाज, और यू गो एंड जस्ट फ्लोट देम इन अ रिवर एज इट इज स्टिल डन इन अ फ्यू प्लेसेस इन इंडिया, इन बनारस, इन बॉम्बे, देर आर सर्टेन ताजियाज विच आर पुट इन द रिवर इन द वाटर बॉडी, दे आर नॉट यू नो बरीड विद इन द ग्राउंड, दे आर द ताजियाज semi permanent, but then there are other replicas of the grave of Imam Hussain, replicas of the shrines which are known as zari is made of somewhat permanent material, it may be wood, it may be some metal, it may be silver, it may be gold, it may be in fact glasses with diamonds studded on them. Now, for example, this zari before you is kept in one of the imambadas of Lucknow. They have never removed. They are never taken out in processions. They are placed at one particular point, and they remain stationary. Such structures they are known as zari. Next one. Next slide. Again, a typical shape of the Rauza-e Hussain, which has been given in the Baha Imam Bada of Lucknow. Much smaller but permanent material. Ab ye kabhi yahan se hataya nahi jata. Ye hamesha on display rehta hai. Panje iske upar laga diye jaate hain, log aake iska bosa dete hain. Iska wahi izzat hai, wahi iska samjha jata hai, jaise taziya. Bas fark ye hai ki taziya ko le ja ke dafan kar dete hain ya pani mein sehra dete hain, and the zaris, they are always kept permanently at their place. Next one. Again, for example, at the Dargah of Hazrat Ali at Lucknow, again you find two things kept together. That green thing on the far side is the Taziya, and then very near to where this devotee, this woman wearing black is standing, you find the zari. And one is of paper and reeds, wood, the other is of metal. So zari or taziya, ye dono cheeze aaj ek aapko rituals ka part milengi jo aza khano mein rakhi bhi milengi. Next one. One thing which I would like to point out is that during the Mughal period, we start getting references to Ma'arik. Ma'arik is derived from the word Ma'arika, that is battle. Diwaqa-e Karbala. Maine aapse shuru karte waqt, I have said that if you ask a historian, they would say that there is hardly any reference of Muharram being commemorated under the Mughals. I am giving before you, if you can read it, there is a reference from Muntakhab al-Tawarikh of Mullah Abdul Qadir Badayuni, a Sunni divine in the court of Akbar, who is very critical to the Shias. In fact, regarding Nurullah Shustari, he praises him but says, सब कुछ अच्छा ही थी लेकिन ये कि शिया थे. एंड इफ अ शिया वुड डाइड ही वुड फॉर एग्जांपल कंपोज अ क्रोनोग्राम सग मुर्द, कुत्ता मर गया, अ डॉग डाई. इट वॉज दिस टाइप ऑफ अ पर्सन मुल्ला अब्दुल कादिर बदायूनी. दिस इज ऑल गिवन इन हिज मुंतखबुत तवारीख. But within this Muntakhabut Tawarikh, we find the reference in volume 1 that at a time when Humayun came to India, during that period, there were maraks which were being held. The commemoration of the Battle of Karbala, which were being taken place in different houses, alag alag gharon pe hote the. जिसमें क्या होता था. ही सेज दैट यू नो इनफैक्ट ही इज मेंशनिंग जो तस्करा है हियर द डिस्कशन एट दिस पर्टिकुलर पॉइंट वेयर इज मेंशनिंग दिस पर्टिकुलर पैसेज इज एट अ पॉइंट व्हेन ही इज इंट्रोड्यूसिंग अ पोएट ऑफ हुमायूंस पीरियड अ कंटेम्प्रेरी पोएट ऑफ हुमायूं एंड ही व्हाइल यू नो इंट्रोड्यूसिंग दिस पोएट ही कीप्स ऑन गिविंग स्पेसिफिक एग्जाम्पल्स ऑफ देयर वर्सेस. So for this particular poet, he says that he was a Marsiya Khwa, a writer of Marsiya, a reciter of Marsiya. And he also in Muntakhabut Tawarikh reproduces a number of couplets from this Marsiya. And he says that these Marsiyas were being recited during Ashra-e-Muharram in a large number of houses and throughout the period of Muharram. This particular person, Marsiya Khwa, would visit house to house wherever Imam Hussain was being commemorated and he would recite the Marsiya. Now the term Marek has been used in such a way that we are not very sure whether Marek would mean the Majlis itself or the Majlis Khana, the place where the Majlis was being, held. Now, for example, next slide, please. We have other examples. I'll come to the example of Marek as a place later on, but let me go forward with the Mughal period. Father Monzeret, one of the Jesuit fathers who visited the court of Akbar, he's a priest, Jesuit priest, who has come to Fatehpur Sikri, the court of Akbar, for one specific purpose. And that purpose is to convert Akbar. Now he, in his letters and in his account, he has given reference to a number of processions. For example, here I am reproducing one of the passages which deals with what he saw at Narwar, one of the North Indian towns. He's an eyewitness account where he says that, a matam is being performed on hot coals. Hasan Hussain, Hasan Hussain. They give shouts of Hasan Hussain. Incidentally, let me also say that in the 19th century, there was a lexicon which was prepared in India by the British officers for the British government to understand the vocabulary of the Indian Empire, which was known as Hobson Jobson, Hasan Hussain. बाकायदा इंट्रोडक्शन में दिया हुआ है कि हॉप्सन जॉप्सन मींस हसन हुसैन विच इज अ साउंड विच यू कीप ऑन हियरिंग इन इंडिया वेर एवर यू गो एंड दैट इज व्हाई द नेम ऑफ द फुल लेक्सिकन गिविंग द नेम्स ऑफ द इंडियन इंग्लिश इंडियन टर्म्स इट इज नोन एज हॉप्सन जॉप्सन हसन हुसैन एंड दैट इज वॉट ही राइट एंड हेयर मॉन्जरेट ड्यूरिंग द पीरियड ऑफ अकबर सेज दैट एट नरवर There were processions with great lamentation. There were assemblies which were held where there were much tears which were being shed. He also informs us that fires were lit. Fire was lit on which they would walk. So Akka Matam and all these things are being mentioned by Father Monzer. So by Akbar's period, Kamaskam Punjab or jo aaspaas ka area hai, it is very sure ke procession bhi nikal raha hai. और उस प्रोसेशन में खूब आहोजारी हो रही है खूब चिल्ला के ओपनली हो रहा है और मातम भी हो रहा है और आग का मातम भी हो रहा है. नेक्स्ट वन प्लीज. Pelshert. Pelshert was a Dutch traveler, a merchant, who came during the period of Jahangir, 1620-27. Similarly, you would find that in his account, you find the description of another, you know, Muharram procession, which is going on. Or agar zahir hai ki ab mere paas mera time khatam ho chuka hai, I have to go further. Lekin bas itna aap isko dekh lijiye ki isme jo kuch isme diya hua hai, ek particular ek jo jis type se Muharram procession aaj bhi nikalta hai, us type ke procession ka, jisme he mentioned crying women, large crowds, you know, they are shouting slogans of Hasan Hussain, and they in fact wo matam ka zikr karta hai. He says that people fear that they are going to kill themselves or somebody who can will come in between. So ye aam taur se matam dekh ke log ghabra jate hain. So that is what Pelshert says about this. So in fact openly, and he says that graves are being carried on the shoulders, biers are being carried, taboot ka zikr aa jata hai. So taziya aa chuka, alam aa chuka, lamentations aa chuke, aag ka matam aa chuka. Pelshert Jahangir ke period mein 1610 se 27 ke beech mein, what he is discussing is that here even the taboot, the biers are being taken out openly in the procession. Incidentally, there is another traveler who comes from Central Asia. He comes from the Central Asian lands. In fact, Muhammad bin Amir Wali, he gives an account. He comes from Bukhara, and after coming from Bukhara, he observes Muharram at Lahore. And talking about Lahore, he says that both Shias and Sunnis, they are commemorating Muharram. Rituals are taking place. For example, he says that the Sunnis divide the 10 days into 5 each. The first 5 days, according to Amir Wali's account, he says that on the first 5 days, Sunnis are in fact singing Qawwalis, gaiti, praises, khushiyan man rahi hain, kumkumme jalaye ja rahe hain, celebrations ho rahe hain, but in the praise of Ahle Bayt. In the last 5 days, that is from 6th Muharram to 10th of Muharram, he says that every Sunni now wears black garment. Pehli baar ab zikr black garment ka aata hai, wearing black garment, and they are reciting nohas, and buka is taking place, wahi ahozari rona dhona. About the Shias, very interestingly, he says Sunnis come out on the streets to perform commemorate Muharram, whereas Shias of Lahore, they remain inside their houses, and it is inside their houses that they hold private assemblies, majlisein wo kar rahe hain, sadak ke upar julus jo nikal rahe hain wo sunniyon ke nikal rahe hain, aur jo shia hain wo kamron ke andar band hoke aza kar. Probably something has changed. Remember ke yahi wo period hai jab qazi nurullah shustari ab hindustan ki jo badi tareef kiya karte the akbar ke period ko, wo kehte hain ke bada khula hua daur hai jisme taqayya nahi karna chahiye. जहांगीर का दौर आते आते वो कहते हैं कि हिंदुस्तान हिंदा जिगर फारा, और चाहते हैं कि यहाँ से वो वापस चले जाए. तो जो आमिर वली लाहौर का जो एग्जांपल दे रहा है कि शिया जो हैं वो अपने अपने घरों में कन्फाइन है, बाहर लेके आजादारी नहीं कर रहे हैं, घरों पे कर रहे हैं. पब्लिकली सुन्नी है, शिया जो है वो सामने में. बाय 1669, दैट इज द पीरियड ऑफ औरंगजेब, खाफी खां, वन ऑफ द क्रॉनिकलर्स who has written in Persian, is a very important historian of Aurangzeb's period, and a foreign traveler, Tavernier, both of them mention that in 1669, in fact, Aurangzeb banned the processions, banned Azadari. In fact, that is the period when Tavernier says that once again, Taqayya started as far as Shias are concerned. But in spite of the fact that under Aurangzeb, Taqayya probably, according to Tavernier, started, but during the same period in Delhi, for the first time, we start getting new places where openly the Azadari was held. Next slide, please.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Janabi Ali. Time check. We have about 5 minutes.
Fine. I'm just finishing off.
Thank you so much. It's fascinating. I had to stop you, but it's absolutely
No. I know the time.
Thank you.
Sorry for taking so much of your time. I forgot that so much time has passed by.
But it is fascinating. Please don't apologize. This is absolutely fascinating.
Plus 2-3 minutes more. For example, here you find an Aza Khana, an Ashur Khana of Kashmir. Here we hear the term Ma'arek being used. Badaini uses it in a fashion. It may be taken to be a majlis. It may be taken to be a place where majlis was being held. But in Kashmir, we find that during the period of the Chak rulers, in fact, this Aza Khana, which is a new one now, but it is built on a place where the earliest Aza Khana being mentioned in Kashmir or in the Indian subcontinent was demolished in 1545. In 1545, we are told that Ma'arek of Zabibal, it was a Ashur Khana constructed by Malik Qazi Chak. It was broken by the invading Mughal army. So this is the reference to the first Aza Khana. Next one. This is, in fact, the plan of, it resembles the Taziyeh or the, auditoriums of Iran, where the Taziyeh, dramas would take place. A centrally located platform with sitting spaces all around. So what was the practice? I don't know. लेकिन जो पहला जो था जो ओरिजिनल था जो 1548 में जो 45 में जला दिया गया था दैट वाज द शेप पॉसिबली डिराइव्ड फ्रॉम द इरानियन ओरिजिन्स. नेक्स्ट वन प्लीज. नाउ यू वुड बी इंटरेस्टेड एंड आई थिंक दिस इज द फर्स्ट फोरम ऑन व्हिच आई एम प्रेजेंटिंग दिस स्लाइड बिफोर द पब्लिक दैट एन आशूर खाना सर्वाइव्स फ्रॉम फतेहपुर सीकरी. During the course when I was making the surveys at Fatehpur Sikri, I found this particular structure which is made of red sandstone. I am still not very sure whether it belongs to Akbar's period or Jahangir. Possibly it is the period of Jahangir. And if so, this is one of the earliest Ashur Khanas Mughal period which still survives. आज की तारीख में भी मुहर्रम के 10 दिन यहाँ पे ताजिया रखा जाता है और यहाँ से ताजिया उठा के बुलंद दरवाजे की तरफ ले जाया जाता है. नंबर वन. नंबर टू, रिमेंबर दैट टुडे एट फतेहपुर सीकरी देर आर नो शियाज. ऑल दी ताजियादार एंड देर आर अ नंबर ऑफ इमाम चौक्स एट फतेहपुर सीकरी प्लेटफॉर्म जैसे मैंने अपने वतन का दिखाया था जिसपे ताजिया रखे जाते थे. इसके सहन में भी उन्होंने बना दिया है. As you can see, the structure is all broken. Nothing can be, done here. लेकिन इसके सामने इमाम चौक बना के और 10 मुहर्रम का जुलूस यहीं से शुरू करके वो आज की तारीख में भी ले जाते हैं. Possibly this is the only Ashur Khana belonging to the Mughal period which still survives. Next one. This is the plan which one of my students, Mehdi Naqvi, in fact, he is working on the Ashur Khanas. Medieval period in India. So this was made by him, the plan, the kis type. So now I don't have time to explain it. Next one. The famous Badshahi Ashur Khana of Hyderabad, which was by the, Deccani Sultanates, much before the Nizam. This was the Bijapuri and Golconda Sultanates under which this Badshahi Ashur Khana was built basically in the typical Iranian fashion. It was initially of wood, but now there is much brick which has been used inside it. Next one. Then at Delhi, there is an Ashur Khana which survives in New Delhi itself. It is located very near to the Safdarjung tomb. The Shah-e-Marda at Delhi. And there the Ashur Khana dates back to the period of Shah Jahan. It became very popular during the period of Aurangzeb. Next slide, please. This is the actual Ashur Khana, where the Aza Khana is, fixed within the complex of Shah Marda complex. Jo Shah Jahan ke period mein pehli baar bana tha, aur popularity isko Aurangzeb ke period mein mili thi. Next one, please. There we find ke in Aza Khano ke andar, there are a number of 19th century paintings. Now, for example, here, kaise in Ashur Khano ke andar Aza Khana kaise sajaya ja raha hai. There is a platform, podium, on which the alums, the zari, the taziya, but mark it that agar aap ispe aaj jo jis tarah hum aza karte hain, majlis hoti hai, everyone faces the zakir. Here it is not so. Next one. Again, the Asafi Imam Bada, on the member is the zakir, but it appears that no one is paying attention to him. He is reading from the book, Rozakhwani. Jo Rozatul Shuhada, ek Iran mein, Safavid period mein kitab likhi gayi thi, jisko padha jata tha. Wo tradition Hindustan mein bhi raha, aur Dakhan mein Karbal ka tha, was an Indian translation of the same thing. Aaj bhi Hindustani mein, Urdu mein, majlis padhi jati hai, usko oratory nahi ki jati hai. कहा जाता है कि हम पढ़ रहे हैं जबकि पढ़ा नहीं जा रहा होता है. सो दिस इज व्हाट वाज हैपनिंग देयर. बट यू कैन सी दैट एवरीवन इज लुकिंग टुवर्ड्स द अज़ा खाना व्हिच इज देयर इन द फ्रंट, नॉट टुवर्ड्स द ज़ाकिर हु इज रीडिंग इट. नेक्स्ट वन, द फेमस पेंटिंग ऑफ मीर अनीस एंड द नवाब. अब जाहिर है कि नवाब जिधर खड़े हुए हैं, आसफ उद्दौला, सो द होल पब्लिक is facing, aur ittefaq se isme member pe Mir Anees baithe hue hain, Nawab sahab jo hain wo bagal mein khade hue hain, aur ek majma hai, ek hujum hai jo majlis pad raha hai. Aaj bhi Hindustan mein yahi tarika hai majlis ko, ek aza ko karne ka. Last slide, please. Ye ek aza khana hai jo Hindustan mein aaj bhi, ye mere ghar ka aza khana hai. Usi tarike se alam lagana, जरी और ताजिये रखना, ताबूत को रखना, और ये प्लेटफॉर्म पे सजाना, और सामने मेंबर होना, और मेंबर के सामने आवाम का बैठना और मजलिस को सुनना, जिस तरीके से लोग मीर अनीस को सुन रहे थे उसी अंदाज में, ये ट्रेडिशन जो सल्तनत के एस्टेब्लिशमेंट के साथ साथ शुरू हुआ था, रफ्ता रफ्ता बढ़ता रहा था, और आज भी उसी अंदाज में किया जा रहा है. थैंक यू वेरी मच.
JazakAllah, Professor Kadeem Saab. This was really fascinating. I hated to interrupt you. We felt like continuing to listen to you for another hour with the fascinating details that you've given us. And it truly is an eye-opener in terms of the culture and the rich heritage that we have. In particular, the differentiation that you made between the Taziya concept in the subcontinent as compared to Iran and Iraq being a passion play and a procession. And, those are some of the nuances that our young people need to learn, inshallah. So with that said, we are very, very grateful for your immense contribution. And inshallah, these videos will be broadcast on YouTube, so that people may benefit from this great heritage that you have shared. Unfortunately, we don't have time for Q&A. We've had some great comments on our YouTube channel for those of you who are watching. We will be addressing some of these comments that have been made during these presentations. And inshallah, we hope that Professor Nadeem will be with us during the series. So when there'll be more time for Q&A, we will inshallah invite him also to come and participate. Just one last note, in terms of the value that we have of the processions, of the rituals, of the culture. that the people of the subcontinent have been able to carry these from the earliest times to, say, my ancestors who went to East Africa and Azadari flourished there. It was from the subcontinent. Later on, you know, wherever people went, where the Shias went, these were enacted in those places. But at the same time, we need to be also mindful, and I'd like to quickly share this, that if you have heard of the Jose Festival in the Caribbean, the Jose Festival is a remnant of those Bihari Shias who had gone and settled in the Caribbean. Sadly, over the centuries, all that remained was the Ashura Julus in the way the forefathers, where it actually turned into a West Indian carnival, having lost all the essence of faith. So as I said at the outset, that Aza is something, it's a vehicle through which we carry our faith, and we need to be very mindful as we go through this, that inshallah, our generations to come will use the Aza as an instrument of tabligh, as an instrument of retaining our values and faith, and not it become a mere ritual, as sometimes it is seen as. And I think these presentations and these lectures are very helpful in giving us a sense of connection, both with our faith and the rituals, and truly that we would be paying homage to Imam Hussein al-Islam in terms of the Aza when we retain both the ritual as well as the spirit and the essence and that international call for social justice. So with that said, we thank everyone for joining. Inshallah, we will see you again tomorrow, which is session 2 at exactly the same time, where we will be talking in some further detail on the subjects that have been broached today in terms of the evolution of Azadari, the subcontinent. And it's going to be a treat because we're going to have a guest presenter, Askari Naqvi, who's going to talk about the art of Soz Khani and the Marsha Khani. And he himself is a notable performer, as it were, on these arts. So with that thing combined, we will be able to have a holistic view of Aza in the subcontinent as we progress through the various literary figures in the days to come, the Maktal literature that Professor Sahib just mentioned in terms of the Karbal Katha and Rawz of the Shuhada. We'll be delving into those in more detail. And Professor Sajjad Rizvi will be talking about some of the impact of the Persian language on the Azadari in the Indian subcontinent, a subject again which was briefly touched upon by Professor Nadeem Rizvi. So thank you everyone for joining. Inshallah, we will see you tomorrow. Please stay safe in this day and age of COVID, and we will see you tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum.
We're going to have Majlis right after that, if we can announce that.
Go ahead, Mustafa.
If you can announce, we're going to have Majlis on this channel right after this event.
Yes, inshallah, yes. We will immediately after this event, we will have a Majlis. So please stay on rejoin the channel in the next few minutes. So with that said, once again, thank you very much for joining. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.